What do you think about that title for a servant? What do you say? Yeah, oranges, right? It's like normally we don't express our feelings for God in terms of taste, of flavor. But I encountered a Bible text that made me think about that. And in occasions we read the Bible and we don't kind of like slow down to pay attention. And that's what I want to share, what I discovered, you know, and part of the reflection in this thing. I assure you it's nothing to do with food, but I need to start with food. Right? It's an introduction. So what is that? Lemons. And lemons are classified as vegetables, fruits. And when was the last time that you eat a lemon for breakfast? They are delicious. Picture that. How your mouth start feeling. I want you to imagine eating a lemon right now. I don't know. They say they are fruit, but they are very tough to eat alone, right? Maybe if you add some water and some sugar, then you can enjoy the lemons. Once I was preaching a sermon and I cut a lemon and started eating it in front of the whole church. And I was planning to do it today, but I said, no, I can't. It's just too much. So you think about certain foods and then the memory right away come to your mind, right? You know how they taste. Do you remember something that your mom used to cook for you when you were small? And you remember how it used to taste? And you maybe try it in other places, but it doesn't taste quite like your mom used to do it. That happens to me. She used to make like a special vegetable soup that I love it, and I haven't found a place where I can get something close to that. All right. What about mangoes? Have you ever tried a mango? Yeah. They have like a very unique flavor, right? It's a little difficult to describe. A little tart and sweet. Actually, flavors are difficult to describe, right? How do you describe sweet in words? Or salty, or something that is bitter. How do you describe that to somebody that had never tried anything like that? This is bitter, or this is very difficult, because it's a very personal experience, right? Other foods are more complex. That's a red onion. I like onions. Some people hate them, right? How you will describe the flavor of an onion? Are they sweet? Some, they have like a little sweetness, right? But most of the time, when you put an onion in your mouth, what do you feel? Like burning, like heat, right? Like it's too spicy. The smell of the onion is very strong and, you know, linger. So if you eat onions, be sure your spouse eat onions too. That's a rule at home. Everybody's eating onions today, so nobody complains. I love onions. This is my favorite dessert. This is banana pudding. A lady from the North Augusta Church made a vegan banana pudding. And it's amazing. And Gabriela makes a lot of vegan desserts too. And I think she has something special for you if you stay for lunch. So I promise you will enjoy it. So meals are interesting and they are very unique. So in the Bible, you find this test. And this is what I think is a little difficult for me to describe. In Psalms 34:8, the Bible says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." And I thought maybe when they did the translation, the person make a mistake. Because how you can refer to God as food, like something that you put in your mouth, right? So I go to the Hebrew and I start looking for the original word. And the original word is this, ta'amu. And Hebrews, they were very specific. And ta'amu means putting something in your mouth so you can taste it, that you can find the flavor on it. So this psalm, because psalms are psalms, right, is inviting us to do the same. So I want you to imagine that you are walking in this exotic market in another country, right, Miss Gloria, that you have visited in many countries. So you are walking in this market, and somebody's selling food in the street, and he happened to be vegetarian, so you are okay with that, right? And they say, "Do you want to try this food?" So what is your reaction? What do you think about that? You start asking questions. What is the flavor? And the person who is selling, "Well, you need to try it, and then you will find out." Delicious, right? It's a little risky. But the only way that you will find out is if you put it where? In your mouth. Somebody can tell you, it's a little sweet, it's like that, but the best way to you find it out is just trying it yourself. So I feel that the person who wrote the song is saying, do you need to know more about God? Do you need to try God? Don't let other people tell you about God. Make it personal. This is something unique for you. Like when you are eating, have anyone here eat like cilantro? How many of you like cilantro? Okay, lower your hand. How many of you dislike cilantro? Really bad. Robert, yeah. My friend there. Why? How cilantro tastes to you? Really bad. A lot of people say cilantro tastes like soap in their mouths. And you will say, no, it doesn't taste like soap to me. And it's because everyone is different. The way, how you describe chicken in your mouth? You don't know until you try that stuff, right? Because for every person, it's different. And that's what it is with God. So it requires faith. It requires like an intention. You need to be willing to try it. Now, if I ask you today, I have a big plate of kale here, and kale tend to be a little bitter, right, in occasions, and I have this amazing ice cream, what plate do you will choose? The ice cream or the kale? Somebody will say kale and put ice cream on top, right? Man, yeah, good. Somebody will say, I will get the kale because I know it's healthy for me and I know it's better and I will stay away from the ice cream. And somebody like me will say, no, I just go for the ice cream. Who cares, right? It depends, right? It's cooked, it's how it's prepared. But the reason that I mention this is because when you are referring to God, it's more than an intellectual exercise. When you are reading the Bible, you discover things about God, right? And that gives you some knowledge, some education. And that's important, don't get me wrong. But in reference to God, you need your heart. You need to love the experience. You need to be willing to go 100%, right? Like if you really love kale, you will go for the kale, no matter what. You know it's good for you, and you love it, and you enjoy it. That's your thing, right? If you don't love it, but you know it's good, it's kind of like, I will eat it because my wife is here and she wants me to be healthy. Whatever the reason it is, right? But that's what I'm trying to tell you today. In the experience of tasting God, number one, you need to put your heart in it. It's something that is very personal. Nobody else can tell you what it is. You need to find it your own. Have you guys tried Egni foods? Did I pronounce that right? Egnic? I was trying to. Egnic. My wife was correcting me. No, that's not the way it sounds. Well, these babies over here are called pupusas. How are they called? Pupusas. Repeat after me. It's a word in Spanish. Pupusas. All right, very good. You're a good student. So what comes to your mind when you think about pupusas? Don't answer me. Just think about it. You never seen one of these guys before, and somebody say, hey, we have some pupusas at home. Do you want to try a few of these guys? Say, no, I'm full. All right. Thank you. Yeah. And I know some of you are like that. You don't like to try some things that they are maybe strange or different, and that's fine. You will go for the safe thing, right? Let's go for the peanut butter sandwich. You know, let's go play safe home. But these guys are like a tortilla filled with cheese inside or vegetables, and they are eaten with this nice salad and this salsa kind of thing. And that's one of the main dishes from El Salvador in Central America. And they are delicious. You know, there are tons of calories in these guys, but they are delicious. So if one day somebody offers you one, think about it. Maybe you want to try it. They are safe to eat, I think. Rocky. You need to find out on your own. So again, it's a personal experience. You are putting your heart in it. You are trying to figure it out. Another way that you can taste God, because I want to expand in that metaphor, the metaphor is tasting God, right? How you can taste God? Because normally the Bible say, feel the presence of the Lord. Oh, here is the Lord, you know, but very rare you find tasting God. So you can do it through nature. Here are Psalms 19, 1 and 2. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. So what is the Bible telling us there? How you can know more about God? Through nature, right? Nature is like a constant reminder that things were created. What day is today? And why you are here at church instead of tomorrow? Very good. The Bible says that the seventh day the Lord rested after his creation. So for us, a reminder that it's creation. We have a creator, right? A God who designed everything. A God that loves you so much that he wants you to have a better life. And part of that is the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is an experience to get in contact with God and nature. You can encounter God and taste more God through nature, right? How many of you love that the day is sunny today? You know, Russell was mentioned to me, I like this weather. I like to sweat. Okay, good. You know, some of you will say, no, that's not my weather. I like something fresh. You know, I don't want to be sweating. But some people like the summer. Other people like rain. I enjoy rain. And this afternoon probably will have some storms. So that's great. Nature is always and ever reminding you and me, we have a creator and this God provides for you and for me. So at the bottom of that slide, I have a question for you. And the question is the gap between private and public life. So what I mean by this is that a lot of us, we have a gap. We have a distinction. We have a separation between the things that we do at home and the things that we do at church. Do you think that that can happen? Yes, it happens. So you can be a very pleasant, decent, lovely, tender human being here at church, and then you go home and you become a dragon, right? Like, what happened? You know, that's what I mean by the gap. You know, it's a separation. It's a crack in there. Do you think that Christians should have that problem at home? Or should we be different in other places? No. God is inviting us to be consistent, right? The way that you are here, that's the way that you express your feelings at work, and that's how you treat other people wherever you go. And I have to tell you, that's a challenge for all of us. Not that you mean to be bad or mean to other people, is that we struggle with sin, right? So that's our constant battle, to be consistent. So you taste God through the beauty of nature. The nature reminds us that we have a creator. What about the Bible? Can you taste God through the Bible? Jesus said when he was tempted that man should not live only by bread, right? But also from every word who comes out of the mouth of God. So I always think about that. Why Jesus is referring to a scripture as bread, as the living bread? Because it's an analogy, right? In the same way that bread gives nourishment to your body in daily way, a scripture, the word of God, will give you nourishment to your spiritual life. Amen? Do you believe that? So when you are reading in a scripture and you find a promise in there, I will be with you always, for instance, that's a reassurance that God loves you and that God will help you in your daily struggles. And you discover that when you are reading the Bible every day, right? When you are praying to God. And let's be honest, you sense God through your feelings, right? When we come to the church, we sing. Why we sing? Well, you want to use your voice to express gratitude to God, right? When you are praying, why do you kneel? It's a show of respect and reverence to the Creator, humility. You want to humble yourself, right? So when you are maybe in your house alone and you want singing a song and you get all emotional, maybe you raise your hands, right? We don't do it here because we can create some controversy. But if you are at home and you want to thank you, God, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I'm telling you, that's how you use your body to express love and gratitude for God, right? So we interact with God through our bodies. Let's be realistic. There's no other way that you can feel and sense God other than through your body. So let me ask you another question here. How is your prayer experience? How do you feel when you pray to God? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Do you spend at least a few seconds saying, thank you, God, I'm alive? And I had this challenge, I had this problem. I would like to encourage you that every day you spend some time praying. I get conflicts when that tells you say, we should be praying without ceasing. How do you think about that? How you can continue to have an attitude of prayer during the whole day? You need to work, you have a family maybe that you need to take care. But perhaps during the day when you are driving to work, when you are talking to coworkers, when you are dealing with customers, you can express your prayers to God in a quick prayer. You can have a conversation, right? I noticed that a lot of people like to pray in different religions. And I was explaining to my son what they call prayers. They are more like a poetry. It's more like you are repeating something that they feel had some magical powers. And they keep repeating the same thing over and over and over, thinking, well, if I keep doing that, God will answer me. But you can talk to God in the way, in your own words, right? Using your own language, your own feelings. You don't need to impress God. Just be yourself. Are you struggling with a temptation? Just tell him, this is my problem. You know, Sabbath school side, it was mentioned about that temptation. What is the first step for any recovery and any addiction? Do you know what is the first step? You need to acknowledge that you have a problem. Because the majority of people who have struggles with addiction, they will say, no, I can't stop whatever I want to. This is not a problem. This is not my issue. They continue denying and denying and denying until you finally acknowledge what is your issue. Then God can enter and help you, right? But if you are so blind that you don't want to see your own problem, then I'm sorry, it's not much that God can do for us, right? So this is the first step. How is your prayer life? Are you really having a vibrant and emotional and interesting prayer life? Are you the guy who go and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk, and after your 10 minutes of practice, everything is gone, you ask for everything that you need, and then you wake up, move, and then leave, because that's your conversation. Think about that for a moment. You are my friend. I called you to have a conversation with you. I talk for 10 minutes. I ask you a bunch of things. I mention a lot of things that they are bothering me, complaints. Then I hung up. I don't even let you answer what I'm trying to talk to you. How that made you feel? If we say that prayer is a conversation, right? So it's a two-way. You are talking to God, but you are expecting God to what? Somehow to answer you, right? So I challenge you, in this moment of silence that you are alone, pay attention. God will speak to you through scripture, through other people, through nature. He will answer you. But you need to pay attention, because the problem is that we finished, I did my duty, and see ya. I will talk to God the next time that I need something, right? I need more money or whatever. No, the prayer should be something very personal, like tasting food also, very unique for every person. Now, this is another way that we can taste God. I was trying to get a picture of Thanksgiving. Our Thanksgiving last year was something like that, like 11 dishes. When you do Thanksgiving meal, you have a lot of food, right? I have a problem with Thanksgiving. We cook too much food that we never finish, and then what happened next? The next day, what is for food, for meal? Leftovers of Thanksgiving, right? Okay, I don't mind. I will eat another tofu and more green beans and more casserole. But then if you have a mother-in-law like the one that I have, that she doesn't throw anything away until everything is gone, then third day, what you will eat? More cranberry sauce and more mashed potatoes and more sandwiches, and they keep creating the whole thing. So how that made you feel? You know it's the same food, right? This is an expression that people use. It's called the pious rehash. You keep living your daily life from previous experience. Oh, I remember that God answered a prayer to me. Great, when he answered the prayer, 15 years ago. Okay, that's good, that was 15 years ago. What about today? Had God answered your prayer today or yesterday? What I'm trying to tell you is that you need to live in a daily experience, right? Are you guys going to a bakery when they bake fresh bread? Leah's an excellent baker, right? So Leah, when you make bread at home that is fresh and everybody eat it, that bread, should taste different than a bread that you have for 3 or 4 days, right? What is the difference when you are eating like a fresh bread or something that has been packed for a few days? Nothing wrong with the one that is packed for a few days, but what is the difference? The flavor, right? The bread that is fresh is crustier, is softer, and it have like a unique flavor. You say, oh, this is delicious. If you eat a bread that is like 10, 15 days old, with a little speckles of green, a little moldy, that is a bad idea, right? That bread doesn't, you can eat it, probably don't kill you, but it's not taste the same. So how we pretend to live a religious experience, to have a connection with God, when we are not having this in a daily basis? You are going back to your previous experience. Is that tasting God? Is that God's flavor good to you? Maybe it was good at that moment, but you need to renew it every day, right? It's something that we need to change. So think about that. You taste God, when you do service. This is a very important part for Christians. And I want you to read, this is found in 1 Peter 4:10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as a faithful steward of God's grace in his various forms. This is 1 Peter. So God is saying, I give you a gift. Maybe it's only one, or maybe there are several. I don't know. What is the point of this gift? What is the point of these blessings that God has given you? So you can use it for what? What happens if a Christian doesn't help anyone else? You create an imbalance, right? If you are cooking a meal, and I love cooking, if you are cooking a meal and you use an ingredient a little bit more than the rest of the ingredients, you create an imbalance. You can make something salty, and people don't like that. It has to be in the perfect balance, right? Or too sweet, or too acid, right? So when people like to study the scripture and they like to study the spirit of prophecy and they want to know more and more and more and more and more, that's great. That's very important that you get an education. What is the point of you getting this knowledge? Tell other people, right? You get this training so you can share to others what God is doing for you. If you don't share, what will happen? You create an imbalance, right, in your life. You tend to be more centered, more selfish. And you know what is the cure for that? Helping others, right? The other way that you can taste God is when you get connected to the right source of power. What is that I have in there? That's a cellular phone, right? And Saeed, how much battery power we have in here? Probably less than 10%, right? This guy is dying. I don't know if that happened to you, but your cell is dying right there. And unless you connect it to the plug, that cell will eventually what? Die completely. Look at this text in Jeremiah 2:17. Let's read it together, okay? Ah, sovereign Lord. I didn't hear you. You had made the heavens and the earth by your great power and a stretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Who else said these words? Jesus, right? He said nothing is impossible for whom? For God. So you go to God when you need help and he will answer because nothing is impossible to God. Let me ask you this today. What is your power level today in the spiritual sense? Do you feel like empowered today or do you feel like a little weak? Think about that. Because we all go through these motions, right? Some days we feel better and other days we feel a little weak. If you are sensing that something is lacking in your life, please consider making the daily experience of tasting God more real to you. Maybe something is missing in that experience. And it's important that you pay attention to these signs. Why? Because Christians who have faith are like beautiful plants. You notice that we have in the front of the church three plants, right? I challenge you to look at these three plants when you are going out today. Two of them, they look healthy, but one is kind of like withering right now, like dying. And I keep putting water and hoping that maybe we'll come back to life, and I hope that it does, but I'm like 90% sure this guy is a goner, right? I don't say in front of the plant because I don't want to hurt her feelings, but you are a goner, my friend. Well, anyway, I keep putting water in this plant, and I feel it's a little too late. So do you think it's such a thing like too late for a spiritual renewal? No. Ah, I had to caution you. Yes, it's a too late in occasions. Some people die spiritually. And if you wait until that moment, maybe you won't have enough faith to move on. You will need extra help from God, right? So when you are ignoring these signs, these red flags, you are walking in a very dangerous territory, right? Don't ignore your daily devotion. Don't ignore your prayer time. Don't ignore the opportunities that you have to serve others, church and outside in community. Don't ignore your opportunity to get connected with God every day because we need a source of power. Every single time that you do ministry, you are giving up of you. If you don't get recharged, it will get a moment that you will run empty. And it's such a thing like running empty in ministry. You get frustrated, you get angry, you get aggravated, and people feel like, yeah, that's not a good thing, right? When you are reading Psalms 34, the next two tests after the tasting of God is fear, and another translation will say honor or remain loyal. Let's do it with honor. Honor the Lord, you, his holy people. For those who honor him lack nothing. right? Kind of like it make a little more sense. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack of no good thing. This is Psalms 34, 9 and 10. And this is one of the things that I want to mention to you. If you discover right now that you are getting frustrated, that you are getting angry, that your spiritual experience doesn't bring you any joy, something is wrong, right? Do you need me to remind you that something is wrong there? If you have a child that is showing signs of high fever, what do? You ignore the situation? He will get better. Tougher out, kid. What doesn't kill you, you know, like make you stronger, whatever the people say. No, you take care of that right away, right? Take the kid to the hospital, go to the doctor. Something is wrong with the child. If you ignore the signs, what will happen? It can get worse. It can die, right? So I was thinking in these two amazing blessings, and I'm trying to claim this last one, right? Look at this. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So what about you? You don't wish that can be your personal experience today, that God will provide for you, not only in your material things, but also in your spiritual needs? Think about that. So I hope that God continue blessing you and the Lord can continue helping you to grow and to flourish and to be a blessing to everybody in your community. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, today we are asking you, Lord, to help us to make our relationship with you more personal. Father, forgive our sins, because in occasions we are oblivious to our own condition. We are naked. We are miserable. We are sad. Lord, we want to have joy in our life. We want to have peace. We want to have the desire to help others. Please, Father, help us. In Jesus' name, amen.